Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Good morning and welcome back to our weekly Ideas Matter segment, checking in with the public humanities. Today we talk with David Stocks, the president of the Shaker Museum in Mount Lebanon, New York. The Shaker Museum is the premier site for collecting and exhibiting Shaker artifacts and for educating New Yorkers about the history and culture of the Shakers. The museum currently has a number of major exhibitions ongoing, as well as new publications forthcoming on Shaker art and design. David Stocks, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. Glad to be with you.
Always good to have you with us and to talk about the Shaker Museum in Mount Lebanon. So what's going on?
Well, a lot. You know, people, I think, know the Shaker Museum and Library from Old Chatham, New York, where it started in 1950 as the first Shaker Museum in the country. And about 10 years ago, the museum purchased part of the biggest and original Shaker site in New Lebanon, which is typically called Mount Lebanon Shaker Village.
Right.
And for the last few years, we've been involved mostly in preserving the buildings on the site. When we took over the site, they were in pretty poor shape, so we've been making sure those are okay. And during that time, we've been collaborating with other institutions to make sure that our huge collection, which has been on view in Old Chatham all these years, is getting out on the road and that people get to see it.
One of the things that I've always found fascinating about your mission is not just talking about the Shakers and about their role and their beliefs and what they did, but also the role they played in the history of New York State and really as a nation as a whole.
You bet. And in fact, one thing we've been very intent on in the last few years since taking on the historic site in Lebanon is making sure that people more broadly know that the sort of arc of geography from the capital region over to the Berkshires is the heart of Shaker history in America. I think people know when you say Amish, people think of certain locations, but they don't think about that when they think about Shaker. And really, it's a capital region story.
So when you look at that capital region story, give us a timeline of how it started to come to be and when they first arrived.
You bet. So the Shakers were founded by a woman, which is quite unusual, a woman-founded religion in America. And what a lot of people, I think, also don't realize is the timing. It was in 1774 that Anne Lee arrived in Manhattan from Manchester, England, with several of her followers. And a couple years later, during the American Revolution, right during the beginning, they ended up settling on a little farm, which is now the airport in Albany. And they made their way there for a few years, and they were thought to be British spies. And after a couple of years, started a missionary tour around New England, and from that gained a lot of converts. Anne Lee then died pretty quickly after that. But her word spread, and the villages that then popped up around New England were because of her and her message of followers that live there at the site, which still exists. It's called the Shaker Heritage Society there in Albany.
What is it, do you think, about when we talk about Shakers? As you say, there may not be one specific location that comes to people's minds, but talk a little bit about as a museum and as a place of education of what myths you tried to bust within the context of the museum and your mission.
That's a good one. There are a lot of myths about the Shakers. I think, you know, people sometimes just don't know them that well, and they confuse them with the Amish or the Quakers and so on. But the Shakers were a very odd and very small and very interesting group of people. They believed that Anne Lee had arrived in America and really was sort of embodied Christ in her. So she was the female incarnation of Christ. And as a result, they separated themselves from the world. They built their own villages from scratch. They were celibate, although men and women lived in the community together. They were celibate. They believed that heaven and earth were kind of one place, and what they were all about is creating perfection on earth. They were very technologically savvy. They believed in the future very strongly, and as a result were famous inventors. And because of their sort of fervent religious beliefs, and they didn't believe in anything extra or fussy, their furniture and objects that they created out of this kind of religious fervor and passion, you know, have become quite known. People know Shaker furniture.
One of the things that I think you do so well at the and remarkably well at the museum is not only tell their story, but tell the story of how they fit into the culture around them. Because it is, it's interesting because while there are those communities in that area, it is not entirely a Shaker community and how they became their own place.
Yeah, you know, when they during the Revolution, they were really the outside world was very hostile to them. You can imagine during the chaos of war, here's this woman from England preaching that she was the second coming, basically.
Right.
So it was not such a popular message, and there was a lot of chaos and confusion. Not only in terms of the sort of political realities, but people were feeling a kind of religious. You know, that people thought it was the end of the world in a certain way. So they started with a lot of hostility against them, and they turned away from the world and turned inward and tried to create their own communities. And as time went by, that changed very, very dramatically. They became more interested in the world around them, were very involved in the animal rights movement, vegetarianism, alternative medicine, pacifism, and on and on. And in turn, the world, I think, began to see them as very interesting people, that their sort of social experiment was one that many people ended up emulating, and even the later religions that were formed in America, like Mormonism and Christian Science, looked back to the Shakers to see what, you know, what their experiment and how they could learn from it.
When you think of your mission now and what you are doing, as you say, there's a lot going on. So currently, what can people see? How much of a big time is this for you during the winter? And what are you working on brewing for the summertime?
We're brewing a lot. So our own site, because it really is under restoration, is seasonal. We opened June 19th this year, and we'll be open until October. And we do tours at the site. We have limited exhibitions because our buildings are unrestored. But it's a fascinating site to come and see. And again, the Shakers built their own villages, so it's something quite specific to their religious beliefs. And as I said at the beginning, you know, we've been working quite a bit with other institutions to make sure the story gets more broadly told and that our collection gets out there. So there are two big exhibitions on view right now. One is called The Shakers from Mount Lebanon to the World. It's at the Farnsworth Art Museum in Rockland, Maine, and it's on view until early March. And there's a beautiful catalog from Rizzoli that's been published that goes along with that. And then more locally, and I think more interesting to the WAMC audience, there's a huge new exhibition that opened in November at the New York State Museum at Albany called The Shakers, America's Quiet Revolutionaries. And this is a huge exhibition that has been in the works as a collaboration among all three local Shaker sites, our site, Hancock Shaker Village in Massachusetts, and the Shaker Heritage Society in Albany. We've been working with the Albany State Museum, the Library and Archives, in creating this exhibition, and it really is designed to give the story of the Shakers in the Capital Region, and I think does it very well. And the good news is that's on view until March 2016, so people definitely have a good chance to go see that. And at some point, there'll be a catalog with that. And then finally, our museum is participating in the European Fine Arts Fair in Maastricht, the Netherlands, in March. It's a commercial art fair, and we are working with actually a commercial art dealer who's bringing Shaker to Europe and wanted a few pieces from our museum, which will not be for sale, obviously, to kind of round out the presentation of Shaker material to the European audience. And we're very excited that there's a new book coming out in conjunction with that exhibition of Shaker furniture called Shaker Function, Purity, Perfection by Asseline Publishing, with essays by me and Jerry Grant from our organization and Sir Terence Conran, who's a rather famous figure in Europe who founded the Conran stores.
So a lot going on, really wonderful things that are happening. And while all of this is happening, David, tell us a little bit about the preservation projects that are going on at the museum in New Lebanon.
Yeah, as I mentioned, we took over the site 10 years ago. The last few years have really been involved in making sure the buildings are stable and safe from the weather and so on, while we plan a final move, which will move our administrative offices, our archives, our library, and our huge collection to Mount Lebanon. And the centerpiece building at our site, as it is at the Hancock site, and in some ways at the site in Albany, the Shakers were big agricultural operations, and so it's a huge barn. The largest stone barn in America is at Mount Lebanon. It burned in the early 1970s, and we have been working to stabilize that. We just finished a $2 million project last summer, and we were very excited in December to get a $500,000 grant from New York State to continue that preservation work. So we'll start again in the spring, and the next phase will actually put a floor in this open-air stone structure. So it's quite a dramatic space that people can come and see.
How do you work with the other Shaker sites in the area and in the country?
We work as much as possible as we can with the ones in the area. We've done teacher training in the summer with Siena College. We've done these programs with the State Museum. We're meeting, in fact, this next week about how we're going to coordinate programming this summer so that people can see what's going on at all three sites. And so we do as much as we can. Our missions are slightly different. Our sites are slightly different. Certainly, being in Albany, the people there, have the site right next to them. The Hancock Shaker Village site is very much a living history museum where you go see, you know, the farm as it was used in day-to-day life of the Shakers. And ours is a little more sort of a museum. It's really more about the collection and more about sort of interpreting what the Shaker ideas were, how their influences are manifest today in art and culture and so on.
Well, it's all good stuff, and it's really a great pleasure to talk to you, David, about what's going on at the museum. David Stocks is the president of the Shaker Museum in Mount Lebanon. If people want to find out more, what's your website?
It's ShakerML, like Mount Lebanon, .org.
ShakerML.org, and you can find out more information about all the cool things that are happening and will be coming up over the summer as well. David Stocks is the president of the Shaker Museum in Mount Lebanon, New York. David, thank you very much for being with us for Ideas Matter. It's a great pleasure, and thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, Joe. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.